Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. No, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Wednesday at 4 o'clock. You know what that means. Wednesday, 4 o'clock. It's time for the Grand Council. So I am going to call the roll. Let me turn southward first from FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Porch Show. Also, by the way, does work with Breitbart, Lan Yap, and he's the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Porch, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed present, and we're glad of it. Thank you very much. And then turning northward in a proxy vote today, we have subbing in for the illustrious Dale Jackson, we have the Grand Poobah of Newsaw across the southeast. That would be our buddy Yaffe sitting in right now from Talk 102.3 in Chattanooga and also with WVNN out of Huntsville and does work with Yellowhammer. Yaffe, are you present?
I am here and glad to be here.
You are here and I pronounce a quorum, so hit it, JP.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-ba-da. Ba-da. All right, we're back. Round one, Grand Council. First question, Jeff Poor, what do you got?
Got to break a little news on your show here.
Ah.
The Rules Committee right now, sounds like tomorrow the much ballyhooed Veterans Bill is going to the House floor, which tells you they probably have the votes in the House.
Yeah.
What I want to know is if it does pass, and assuming it passes as is, it passed in the Senate. How big do you think the governor's signing ceremony will be for this piece of legislation?
I'll be honest with you, man. This is the weirdest bill because I can't figure out what the overwhelming desire is to see this thing passed, and yet the governor is not out front giving speeches about it. This doesn't feel like an agenda item. This doesn't feel like something she's getting in front of. And so signing ceremony, if she's smart, if it passes, she'd sign it quietly in the back room and just let it be. But I don't know if she'll do that or not. Yaffe?
I'm going to say there won't be a signing ceremony, but there'll be like a tweet, a picture, kind of maybe put on social media. And that'll be it. I don't know if we'll get much more than that.
Well, you know, Andrew Jones and Ed Oliver are going to want to be have their picture made. So it might be the two of them with the governor in her office.
Something like that, yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't know how proud they will be of it. There may be a victory lap, but I'm going the other direction. I think it's going to be a big deal.
Do you?
I think she's going to bring out the National Guard or something. This is going to be a big one if she gets her way. Because this is what she wants. This is like the end-all be-all of her.
Well, it is, but let me ask you this. You're in Montgomery more than we are right now, so is she literally in front of it? Is she being physically present, or is she just sending her people across the street to talk to the legislators?
I mean, she's sending her liaison, and it's her press people. I mean, you got Todd Stacey downstairs, who's like particularly propaganda for KIV, which is just fine. That's what's going on. She's not out in front of anything, which is, you know, to put out a tweet or whatever, but that's not her.
No, it's not.
I don't think I've said anything too crazy when I say that, but that's what I think's going on.
Well, I think somebody in her cabinet got a burr under their saddle for this issue and decided they were not going to lay down on it, that they were going to press forward on this, didn't matter what anybody said. And this one has enough of what I would call antagonistic, you know, energy to where somebody's going to feel it later, and I think that's just fair to say. I don't know if it's going to be one that causes all kinds of primaries, but I think there's going to be somebody that has a veteran who protested this, who felt maligned, and they're going to run against somebody. So you wait and watch. But anyway, all right. I tell you what. Welcome to the floor, Yaffe. I'm giving you next question. What do you got?
All right. I think it's a simple one, but maybe not. My question is, after that display by the Democrats during the speech last night, and then, of course, the display by the Democrats by voting against protecting women's sports, my question is, will the Democrats ever learn their lesson when it comes to why they actually lost the last presidential election? Or are they just going to double down on this stuff?
Well, it's what a great question. So the bottom line is this. You know, they've got some of their chief pundits out there, like, you know, Bill Maher and Still Carville, claiming that they better do a course correction. And of course, Carville was there back in the day when Clinton did his, you know, turnaround to try and regain some ground. But the reality is this. I don't think they can right now because they are so far to the left and they are so antagonistic towards Trump that it's almost as if they are blinded to it. But they're also there's a huge amount of hubris and pride involved in this. They would have to literally admit we were wrong, and here's why we're correcting. So anything they do is going to be subtle, and it's going to be just kind of in dribble drabs. I don't think they're going to make a party course correction. Jeff, what do you think?
I agree with that. I don't think they're going to do anything different than what they've been doing. Because they just don't have any ideas. And I don't think they're quite there, quite ready to stake out a claim somewhere that would be like, you know, this is our policy, anything other than transgender women should be in girls' locker rooms or whatever, and that's our idea of diversity. I mean, they can't deviate from their core ideology because they went so hard in the paint for it, and they're afraid that if they give, it's going to damage their credibility. And I mean, the whole house of cards collapse, right? So yeah. that's their problem right now.
It's your own question, Yaffe. What are you thinking?
I think there are some in the Democrat Party who really are trying to get them to change. You had mentioned Bill Maher, but John Fetterman, he put out a tweet kind of saying, look, this is basically saying this is why Trump won. But I think you're right. The problem is their whole platform has been based on DEI woke stuff, especially for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So they would have to completely rip up their old platform, put together a complete new platform. And I guess that's pretty tough. So they're just going to stick with being anti-Trump and Musk right now and think that works for them.
I saw Fetterman's tweet, by the way. I even read it out on the air earlier. But at the same time, he voted against the bill to keep men out of the women's locker rooms and in women's sports. I mean the guy's a mixed bag of you know, monkey nuts. I don't know what's happening. Sometimes he's there and sometimes he's not. But all right, we got about 2.5 minutes, so let me jump on my question here real quick. Will Ainsworth. Will Ainsworth, in a not-so-subtle attempt to say, hey, I'm running for governor without saying, hey, I'm running for governor, tweeted out this morning that he's getting in shape because the 2026 governor's race might be shaping up to be one for the history books. So I got some thoughts on this, but is he trying to scare Tuberville off, and does it even work? Because Tuberville, I think, has name ID. You first, Yaffe.
I think he might be feeling things out, maybe. I can't imagine he's trying to scare Tuberville off because that wouldn't work. It seems to me it's Tuberville's to have. As much as I really like Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, it seems like it's Tuberville's to lose if he decides to get in.
Which I think is the reason why Ainsworth's getting out early, but I got another thought on it. But go ahead, Jeff, what do you think, man?
I think he has to get out right now. I mean, he's been running for the seat forever, and he's probably got commitments. I know they can't exactly fundraise, but he's probably got commitments from some very wealthy people in this state who don't want Tuberville to be governor. And he's got to show some kind of sign that the door's still open, regardless of who's running. And I think some of these gestures are just sort of that. They're important because they're a signal to people that, yeah, I am still in the game here. And you know, I don't know. Tuberville is a big mystery to me. Like, what do we know about him? And there's a lot of excitement around him, but I tell you guys, I dread another one of these circular firing squad type of cycles if it comes down to the two of them running against each other.
Well, I think it would be a big one. I think those are two guys that have name ID. I think Tuberville has the bigger name ID, but here's the other piece of this too. I think Ainsworth doing this, I mean, it's the age-old classic of trying to scare off the competition before they become your competition. But I think that you're going right. to – I think sometime soon you're going to wind up hearing that a poll's going out, and this was dabbling in the race, and then all of a sudden a poll's going to happen to gauge name ID and favorable, unfavorable to see where he stands, and it's going to pit. It's going to literally pit Ainsworth against Tuberville. The other thing I've just heard, though, earlier today is that Will Ainsworth uses the exact same consultant that Marsha Blackburn uses in Tennessee, and that Blackburn did the exact same thing to try and scare off Hagerty the other day, and it worked. And so you're watching the same play being run in Alabama now.
I just don't think it works as well as it does in Tennessee.
Ward Baker's Ainsworth's consultant. That's true. He's the same consultant, though, for Kelly Loeffler and some others in Georgia. But he's like a ninja assassin when it comes to this stuff.
Well, we'll see where it goes. Right now, a semi-gauntlet has been thrown. But and by the way, that's the end of round one. All right, round one, Grand Council. I got Jeff Poore and Yaffe sitting in with us. So you guys stay tuned. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back for round two of the Grand Council on a 4:15 time frame of a Wednesday afternoon. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, we're going back for round two of the Grand Council, and I got to remind you guys, the Grand Council every single Wednesday is brought to you by DeKalb MD. That's DeKalb MD. I'll tell you more about them in just a minute. But DeKalb MD with locations in North Alabama and two in Chattanooga. You're going to want to check them out. DeKalb MD, sponsor of the Grand Council. All right, so fellas, I'm going back to round two. First question, Jeff Poore, what do you got? Did we lose Jeff? Jeff Rowe?
We didn't call back.
There he, well, daggum. How about first question, second round? Yaffe, what do you got?
Okay, since we were talking about Tuberville and Ainsworth,
yeah.
The question is, who replaces Tuberville in the Senate if he runs for governor?
Well, you know, it's a great card shuffle here. I mean, picture this. Let's say the polling, the money, the name ID all indicates that if Tuberville decides he wants to run, that it's his race. Does Ainsworth run the risk of pouring all the money into it and having a bludgeoning session between the two of them in the primary? Or does he step back and go, okay, I'll run for the Senate? And I got to look back and see, when is Tuberville up again? Do you recall?
I'd have to look that up. I think it's like around the same time.
It may be. If Tuberville's up again and he's leaving his seat behind to create an open seat for the primary, then I think that Ainsworth would have some decisions to make. Now, I've heard that he doesn't want to do that because he's got young kids and he'd have to go back and forth to D.C.
Yeah, that's what I heard, that he doesn't want to go to D.C.
But, you know, look at Katie Britt. She's back and forth to D.C. and her kids are young. So I don't know, I think that's one. I think you'll definitely see somebody from the business community that shows up and says, I'll do it. So all said and done, I don't know, but I think that kind of shuffle right there with Ainsworth looking north to D.C. as opposed to south to Montgomery might be the way to go. Hey, Jeff's back on the line by now. Jeff, I know you're in the State House, and I can tell you firsthand, I know that the connectivity there is awful. But the question just a minute ago was, if Ainsworth, who runs for the Senate seat if Tuberville runs for governor? What's your thoughts on that?
I would have to put Ainsworth in the list. I think that's a real possibility. Even though he said no, Steve Marshall seems like he could raise a lot of federal money.
Yeah,
I think I'd put him down. I think there'll be one or two others, probably some former congressmen. You see Jerry Carl, or who knows what Mo Brooks, if you're out there listening, would you flirt with it? I don't know. These are just all hypothetical. So I think those are the ones I'd keep an eye on.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And then I can't hit wonder down in your area, Bradley Byrne. Is he done with politics? Is he happy being at the chamber? Or is he going to stay out of politics now?
I don't know. He's pretty happy. I mean, he lives about a mile from where I live, and you see him out on the ballot, and he never even talks about it. What do you run for again? I mean, it never comes up. And usually, like, when I see these kind of guys out at a ballot, and that's the first thing they want to talk about, and he's never even brought it up, so...
Well, that probably means he's realized that he's happy where he is, so who knows? All right, round two, second question. Now I'm going to you, Jeff. What do you got?
AL.com's editor-in-chief resigned, or announced that he's resigning at the end of the month. The AL.com death watch, will there be an AL.com in 5 years?
Not at the pace they're going, man. Wasn't that guy there only like 8 or 9 months?
He was there for about right under a year.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're hemorrhaging staff, and they're constantly punditry in the liberal column in a red state, I just can't see them remaining viable unless they have a course correction here sometime soon. 5 years from now? No, I don't think so. Not at the rate they're going. And like I said, it's going to take some change for that to be remain viable. Because right now, I think you guys and Yellowhammer and some of the others that are you know smaller in their regional scope, I think are giving them a run for their money right now, to be honest. Yaffe?
I'm going to say it exists in some form, but probably not its current form. I mean, the domain al.com just seems like it's too good to give up. Somebody's going to want to take that. My guess is someone like, maybe it's almost like with the Washington Post where someone tries to come in and really course correct, like Bezos is trying to do with the Post. So I think it'll exist. Will it be the same as it is now? Probably not.
So, all right, Jeff, you have your finger on the pulse of all this. What are you thinking, bud?
No, I think that's a good guess. I mean, there's still value in what it is, and somebody can buy it and do something with it. But they have got to rebrand. I mean, if I'm wealthy enough to buy AL.com, I mean, I totally changed the layout. It's going to have a whole different look, and it's, you know, it's still going to be the landing spot, but I think there's a lot of work to do there. It's salvaging that property.
So the breaking news that I just heard on Right Side Radio was that Jeff Poor is anticipating the purchase of AL.com and redesigning the whole thing.
Hey, somebody wants to give me the money, I will.
Loyalty's out the door at that point.
That challenge. You guys need some jobs, let me know. We'll
remake
something together.
Hey, last question with less than a minute to go. Let me just ask you this. Are eggs the new currency? Can you buy things with eggs? Is the barter system with eggs, is that the way to go right now? Yaffe, what do you think?
Yeah, all I know is I have a friend of mine who has chickens. Really more friends of my wife. She goes over there, and I'm like, did you get eggs? And she'll like forget to ask. And I'm like, they're giving them eggs for free. Ask.
Jeff, are you getting eggs for your wife for her birthday or anything?
How many eggs do we need? Like, we just go buy them, and they're there on the shelf, and they sit in the refrigerator till I toss them out because they've gone bad or something. I mean, are we really that kind of a society where we're just clamoring for eggs?
It's eggs, man. It's eggs, and you have bacon, and then there's biscuits, and that's the main staples of life.
When was the
right
last
there?
Time you made biscuit and eggs there, Senator?
Saturday.
How many eggs will buy ale?
Saturday.
That's the question.
Saturday.
That's a better question.
All right, you guys. Appreciate you both. Yaffe, thank you for sitting in for the ailing Dale. We appreciate it, brother. And we're gone. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Grand Council every single week. And I'll tell you more about DeKalb MD, our sponsor, when we get back. Y'all stay tuned.